I'm Andrew Schneider on 92.1 KRLS here with the recently retired head coach of the Pella Christian basketball program, Larry Hessing. After 27 years of success at the program, your career in high school basketball coaching has ended. First of all, what kind of led to that decision and ultimately kind of pushed you to move on after having such a long and successful career?
Yeah, that's kind of a loaded question. You know, I'm retiring from teaching, and so I had to make a decision on whether to keep coaching basketball or not. I felt like I did have the energy and enthusiasm to keep coaching, but with the many transitions at the school, there was a new guy coming on board who had a lot of basketball credentials, and so it turned out to be the right time to step away.
Well, and I know the decision doesn't come easy. You're coming off the heels of a season with one of the largest senior classes you've ever had, and at the state tournament. And like you said, you still felt like you had a little bit to maybe contribute, but at the same time, like you said, maybe a time for transition. When you think back to the last year, obviously some big ups and some challenging times as well. You know, what note do you think that you were able to leave the program in, knowing that it was another state tournament season, the 15th in the school's history, and knowing that you had a large senior class coming out and some interesting classes coming up that have quite a bit of potential?
Yeah, you know, when I started 27 years ago, the cupboard was not bare. Coach Jerry Nicola did an outstanding job, of course, coming off the three state tournament championships in the most recent 4 years back there in the 90s. And so the program was at a high level at that point. There was a lot of talent in the school and amongst the senior class at that point, and then also in the grades coming up. And I met Coach Marv Van Wyk at that time during that summer when we first started getting started. And, you know, we just tried to continue and do our own thing. And so over the course of many years, we tried to maintain that high level, and it led right into this most recent season where we had kind of a unique group where we had so many seniors, and certainly they were very talented. We played a tremendous schedule, and while not everything worked out exactly the way we wished it would, you know, we tried to maintain that high level of play.
Well, and that is the 12th trip that you've made to state. Among those, the vast majority have finished with top four finishes, five runner-ups, a couple of third place finishes, and a fourth place finish. You know, I would say that level's been maintained. Now, obviously not the state championship that you wanted to get to, but talk about kind of those different spurts, because the second place finishes all kind of came clustered together, and the third place finishes came all clustered together with some incredible groups of teams that kind of came through, like kind of almost in waves.
Yeah, it was like that. You know, I talked about 27 years ago, that first team, I still remember that team too, and losing in overtime in a sub-state game, and that one probably hurts as much as any because I saw and felt the disappointment that those athletes had, many of them who had experienced the state tournament the year before. I lost your question there for a second, Andrew, but yeah, you know, it did come in waves, and I remember, you know, that first state tournament was kind of the toughest one to get to in a certain way. We lost in overtime, as I mentioned, back in 94, I think it would have been. And then I think we didn't have a real good opportunity between then and the team that finally got there, which was the 1998 team. And so that was a big win. And when we got there, you know, we kind of pinched ourselves that we were all of a sudden in the championship game. We ran into a Mr. Nick Collison. And then the next year, you know, the same thing happened with kind of a some kids left over from that team of 94, but also some new faces. And then in 99, I'm losing track here, 2000, you know, completely new, well, not completely, but a lot of new faces again. And we pinched ourselves. We're in the finals again. And that was another tough one because we had a nice lead there in the fourth quarter. They got away from us in the state championship game. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, there were some years where we didn't get there, and then all of a sudden we'd have a group of athletes and we'd get there 3 years in a row. We had some third place finishes there. I remember one of that group was the year that I believe David Kakarinski was a junior, and wasn't able to play. And, you know, we had some people there that, that really stepped up, and we had some great tournament experiences with some first round upsets of 7 seeds and 8 seeds and things like that. Excuse me, 1 seeds and 2 seeds. We were the 7 and the 8. So yeah, a lot of great experiences that kind of come in waves there at the state tournament.
Well, and I was around for the most recent, as you mentioned, the 2 third places and the 2nd place, a team that had, you know, if it wasn't for Eric Potthoven, probably the best individual player in program history in terms of scoring, Levi Jungling, 2nd all-time in Pella Christian history, is on numerous state leaderboards for what he did both in football and in basketball. As you mentioned, that group had David Kakmarinski, who had a torn ACL after football in his junior season, came back and had a sensational senior year. That's the team I remember the most. If you want to start talking with about that group, that was again a large group of seniors, but each class, it seemed like even behind them, kind of supplemented what Levi and David were doing at the leadership spots there. And certainly three incredible groups to follow in that their senior season, especially considering how good the conference was, one to remember.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, it starts really with that leadership and that competitive desire, and it kind of filters down to the teammates. And then even beyond that, kids that maybe don't start or star in those teams, they get to carry on. And that's how you kind of build, I guess, some really solid teams. Each group of seniors or juniors, whoever they are, the leaders, teach the younger kids how not to only compete, but practices are at such a high level as well when you have a talented group of kids in the room. So it kind of perpetuates itself, and you know, I can't take the credit for starting it. I've said numerous times it was there way before I took the helm at Pella Christian.
Well, and we can even step back more to those 98 through 2000 teams. That was kind of that first run you had in Iowa at the state tournament. You've already talked a little bit about the memories, but, you know, why was that so important, do you think, to kind of get yourselves reestablished there after, of course, having that the early portion of the decade being dominant with the state championships, but to get back and to get into state title games? How critical do you think that was to continuing the success of the program and getting another generation of kids excited about Pella Christian basketball?
Well, you know, I think in that little interim there between the early 90s team and then the 98 team that Coach Marv and I were coaching, yeah, along with Doug Beanstra, you know, we knew we could do it, but we just couldn't quite get over that hurdle. I remember the team from 96 lost a really heartbreaking loss there in the sub-state finals as well. And, you know, we knew we had it. We just couldn't get over that hump. And so finally in 98, when we were able to advance, it was kind of a sigh of relief. And it's like, okay, we proved to ourselves, and everybody knows that we can get to the state tournament as well. And then, of course, as a coach new to Iowa, I didn't know what to expect really at the state tournament, but I remember we were able to win that opening round game. And guys like Scott Heitzman and Brian Branderhorst probably led the way. And then, you know, I could start naming names and then probably forget somebody. But then that next wave was Kyle Van Arendonk and Brett Van Wyk. But that group, you know, we got to the state tournament. We got to the finals. We lost to Iowa Falls and Nick Collison. And then the next year and the next year to get back there again, I guess, just maybe cemented for Coach Van Wyk and me that, you know, we were doing the right things and we could play at a very high level as well.
Well, and I think you mentioned it, Larry, that, you know, one of the things that people may not even look at is obviously you look at the incredible state tournament success the program has had in the past 30 years, 15 out of 30 years, the Eagles have been at the state tournament, and over half of those have had at least one tournament win. In fact, coming into this year's state tournament, 8th most wins all time at the state, up at the Well and up at the Barn. But even in those seasons where you weren't getting a state coach, you mentioned it, you're getting mostly to sub-state finals. I know, I think about last year with this Eagles team that lost to Van Meter in a heartbreaker. You know, maybe explain, the people may not appreciate how difficult it is to get to state and even sub-state seasons. You know, those are special too, and we don't want to overlook those.
No, that's right. You know, whenever the district and sub-state pairings come out, you know, all coaches, I think I can speak for, kind of have their fingers crossed. You always know there's going to be at least one good, tough team that you're going to have to beat to get to the state tournament. I can only remember one time, I think that was 99, where we were able to advance to the state tournament, and every win was a 20-point win. That's just not going to happen very often. So you're always going to have that one team that's really going to challenge you to get to the state tournament. And it doesn't always end up at the sub-state level, as we saw in this past year with Des Moines Christian at a district final level. And those games are really tough. And, you know, there are lots of different things that can influence the outcome of that game. I remember back in 94, one of our starters went down with an Osgood Slaughter injury the night before, the day before the sub-state game. So all of a sudden we're missing one of our starters. And you get foul trouble and you get all kinds of, you know, one little call or one little break here or there makes a difference in the game. And so getting to sub-state is a big thing. And it's a sense of accomplishment, but it's also a great sense of disappointment when you can't get through that final step to the state tournament, especially if you lose in an overtime or on the last second shot. And I can recall two or three of those kinds of games as well.
We're here with Larry Hessing talking about his retirement from after 27 seasons at Pella Christian. And that is, you know, the heartbreak and the disappointment when you think about what's happened at PC under your tenure and incredible success. But the one place you weren't quite able to get to was the first place trophy. And I know that that hangs on you, and I know you're a competitive guy. So I know that I don't want to insult you in any way by bringing that up. But that is part of the challenge of what's happened, you know. When you think back, obviously you won a state championship before coming to Iowa, and second place, as heartbreaking as it can be several times, is still an incredible accomplishment. When you think about that championship, though, and trying to chase that, you know, what are some of the things that you think about that it takes to even get to that level and know that, you know, once you're in that final game, you're playing the absolute best of the best, and it's never easy, or as easy as people maybe make it seem to be.
Well, yeah, you know, I guess I was blessed enough early in my career to end up in a situation where we won a state championship. But, you know, and so when I came to Iowa, when I first came, I wasn't even planning on coaching. And then Jerry Nichol stepped aside and the job kind of fell into my lap, and we went from there. And of course, you know, I'll say that besides doing all the right things and playing the right way and being competitive and being a good influence in these young men's lives, you want to win that state championship. And so, yes, that is kind of a disappointment that we were never able to do that. We're in that state tournament, our championship game several times. A couple times I thought we had real shots at winning it, and, you know, it just didn't work out for us. So that's a disappointment. There's no doubt about that. But nonetheless, you know, I also learned a long time ago that you can't beat yourself up on things that would have, should have, could have been. And so if you know, and I know that I gave my best effort and my players gave their best effort and things didn't work out for us, then that's the way it is. And you have to accept that and move on. And, you know, it's a lesson that can be transferred to a lot of different places in life.
Well, and the succession plan was announced soon after you retired. A teacher coming into the district, he's a younger guy, J.D. Bohr. I know you haven't had a chance to meet him yet, but when you think about not only the success that you had, but trying to keep that going for the next person, you know, when you think about a younger guy coming in, obviously comes from an incredible background when you think about Dort and Western Christian and some of the things he was able to do in Arizona. You know, how excited are you for him? And part two of that is, you know, what do you hope you left behind for him as he tries to establish his own legacy at a school, which is very tough to do that after, what, having three coaches in about 60 years' time?
Yeah, you know, I wish him well, and I'm just going to stay away and let him do his thing. Every coach has their own philosophy, their own way of doing things. You know, I can thank Jerry Nichol from the bottom of my heart for the way he handled that. He was still on staff and in the building when I started coaching at Pella Christian, and he never said a thing, except that towards the end of the season, I know he got really excited as we made our tournament run. And so I really appreciated how he handled that professionally, and I hope to do the same as JD takes over. I do know that we've left him with some good young players, and it's not just me, but I know that our summer program, our summer camp, I think is a good one. And there's been a lot of dads and coaches for youth basketball teams who've done a good job also developing these guys. So I know that there's some talent in the pipeline. And so I guess I'm just going to sit back and let him do his thing. And I'll be interested observer in terms of his philosophies and what he tries to do, but also watching these young guys that I've seen come up through the elementary grades in our summer camps and just watching them continue to develop. I know that there's some really nice young players there.
Well, and you know, part of the hard part about when you think back over 27 years, it's hard to pick out any specific memories. But beyond some of the state tournaments we've already talked about and some of the big groups that we've talked about that have come through your doors, you know, are there any other memories or any other relationships that you can think of top of mind that you'd like to mention that were impactful to you or certain things that were special and fun to you?
Yeah, you know, there's lots of relationships that you build. A couple things that I guess come to mind for me would be, one is we used to go to the Simpson team basketball camp. And if there's any former players, listening that who happened to be part of that, we commuted every day and we played four games every day and we hung out in an empty classroom there on the Simpson College campus that they gave us. And I think those were some of the most fun things. We played a trivia game on the way there. I think Jordan Zanting was the moderator, and that was a hoot. So there's one guy that I can, I guess, call out there. That was a really fun time. I don't know. I think we did that maybe for 10 years or more. It was always kind of a summer ritual. And so that was a great way to build some camaraderie, particularly amongst the players, but also between me and the players, and then sometimes some assistant coaches could come in the evening and watch the evening games. And then, yeah, you know, back in 2004, when my first wife fell ill to cancer and passed away, you know, I can really remember and feeling the support, not only of the entire community from Pella Christian and Pella at large, but also especially amongst the team. That was a state tournament team in which I was able to coach the first game. Was not able to get back to coach the second two games because my wife passed away in the interim. So, you know, kind of highs and lows there, I guess you could say, but through it all, I guess what really kind of comes through is just the community and how we supported each other in good times and tough times.
Well, and when the announcement came out, when Coach Brandehorst had announced it on Twitter and on Facebook, there was not only support from the community, messages of well wishes, but a lot from your peers and a lot from your colleagues, and maybe quite a bit that I haven't even seen. It seems like amongst the Little Hawkeye Conference especially, there's almost a kind of a strange kind of brotherhood that's built over the years, knowing it's one of the best, most competitive conferences. What did it mean to you to be able to see some of that respect come back from guys like Joel Rankin and now Derek Schulte, who's new to the conference, and some of those other guys that you've had a lot of battles with over the past 20 some plus years?
Well, it's humbling really to get, you know, some commendations, whatever you want to call them, from your peers. But yes, you know, in that Little Hawkeye Conference, and I'll maybe go back to Chris Larson from Norwalk. We've battled for over 25 years together. And, you know, when we conversed a little bit here recently, you know, he said it really well. We competed like crazy during those games. But after the game, we could go shake hands and be respectful and have a friendship together. And those are the kind of relationships that a guy cherishes and will remember and take forward. So, you know, our friendship and that goes around the Little Hawkeye Conference with guys like Scott Sharp and some other guys that have been around a while and Joel Rankin from DCG. You know, we respect each other. We recognize that it's a tough conference and that I would like to say that we all do a really good job. But at the end of the day, somebody's going to come out on the short end on a particular night. But that doesn't diminish our friendships and our respect for each other.
That's head coach Larry Hessing, retiring from the Pelicrisian basketball program after 27 seasons. Coach, I've known you my entire time since I've been here in Pella 6 years. You were one of the first faces at Pelicrisian High School to welcome me, as my first broadcast was a PCM game with you, Levi Jungling David's sophomore year back in 2014. We've shared some heartbreak. We've shared some great moments together in the broadcast booth and coaching and calling your teams over the past 6 years has been an absolute pleasure and joy. We do appreciate all that you've done for our station, all you've done to help with our Coach's Corner and our football broadcast, and we do wish you all the best in retirement.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I can flip that back right to you guys. We really appreciate what you and the station, the radio station, does at Pella. Not all communities get the coverage that you're able to give to the area teams, and so we really appreciate that. And I've enjoyed doing football broadcasts with you, I guess, when I was a kid, you know, and I listened to some football broadcasts. I thought, boy, that sounds like fun. And little did I know that one day I would actually get to do some of that. So I appreciate that.
Well, when we have a spot open, we'll give you a call, Larry, see if you want to do a few more times. It's Larry Hessing. We'll have more of the Coach's Corner after this on KRLS.